For ages, I've wanted to talk to you about this video project you've had going that people can see the work on YouTube, Lots of Little Fires. But you've also recently won an award for this as well, which is interesting. So what the award is for, from an organisation called Community Research New Zealand?
Yeah, so, a bit of background. Like, I didn't know... I didn't know what I was doing was particularly research. In my mind, it was storytelling.
Yeah, because the videos are, what, like 5 minutes long or so, 5 or 10 minutes?
Initially, they were going to be 3 minutes, but they're now up to 8.5, some of them, just because there's a lot more to tell.
Just looking at what people are doing in various communities around the place for... Is it mostly for young people?
It's kind of had a flavour on that, mostly because that's my background.
Yeah. So your first one was on Potama Rites of Passage.
Yeah.
Just to give people an idea of what the videos are like, and a lot of people will have seen that around here. So, yeah. So, and as you say, you didn't think that was research, in inverted commas.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to sort of spell out what Lots of Little Fires is for anyone that don't know, it's video storytelling that uses... It shines a light on people in community, I guess, the unsung heroes or the unusual suspects, I guess, who do on the daily amazing things for people. And having worked in that sort of space myself for a relatively long time, I just know that, in the general news and flavour of society, there's a lot of negativity all the time that no one's doing this and there's not enough of that and rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like, well, if you worked in this world, you'd see heaps of good people, but the people who say there's nothing happening.
Yeah.
I think people have never worked in them sectors or do those things. So
it's just like, not on the 6 o'clock news, is it?
It's not, no.
Yeah.
And there's something, I'll get onto it later, but positive news doesn't sell, you know. And I've had experiences of that with this project in itself. But yeah, it's definitely been the idea of Lots of Little Fires. I called it that because often when something good's happening in community, someone's doing a special thing, people want to make it bigger and bigger and bigger. And it kind of ruins the uniqueness of it because it works for a certain group of people in a certain way and that's wicked and it should be kept like that.
You can't turn it up to an industrial scale.
Nah, and it's often businesses that want that business or funding perspective that really want to scale things up for their own benefit to make it easier for them almost.
Yeah.
But again, that shows like a disconnect. Because they're going, well, hang on, who's it for? It's not for you. It's who's this project serving? What do they want it to look like?
I guess that's the business approach usually too. It's like you make it bigger so it's more profitable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so with that, Lots of Little Fires is that if there's little fires, everyone can sit around. You can see each other. There's a human connection.
Oh, okay.
It's warm, but it's not too hot because the fire's not too big. Do you know what I mean? That in my mind, I always think in metaphor. I always have. And Around the Waikato, there's lots of little fires burning, and I know loads. There's loads more that I don't know, and we'll get to meet them.
See, that's interesting because when I read the phrase "lots of little fires," in my head it was about people starting things, and I guess inevitably then the implication is it would grow bigger. And in my mind, well, I was trying to search for it before, and it became lighting little fires in my mind because that make it a bigger thing must have filtered through for me as well.
Yeah, and I think that's the idea that I don't want it to. You know, it's like when you've got a good thing going, someone else comes in from the outside and goes, how do we make it bigger? Hang on a minute, that isn't how we want it. That power dynamic, you know, and it's, let us be the steward of our own ship. And so, yeah, lots of little fires. And if the fire's too big, you know, you can't see who's sat around it. It's too hot to sit close because if you've ever seen a big fire, you have to sit right back from it and then you can't see anyone. Lose the intimacy, we lose the relationships.
And you need crowd control.
And you need crowd control and a fire engine.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
Yeah. So if you get too noticeable, oh, we have a sparrow in the studio.
Hey.
How did that get in here? The door's shut. No, it came from the door. Anyway, we'll see if we can continue the interview. The sparrow can listen in. So, specifically the award then, tell us about that.
Yeah, so, well, this year we've released, there'll be 10 videos released this year, and we've released, today we're releasing the eighth video today. This morning, Katie Lowe's from Enviro
Well, she's everywhere.
She's everywhere.
She's actually a DJ at the station as well. She's on our committee. She's on the soccer committee. She's at the Environment Centre Extreme Zero Waste.
She's a pretty special...
She was helping with Freedom to Fly over the weekend.
Okay.
We organised that, yeah.
So a local community hero. Probably should do a story.
Yeah, you should, if you can get her to stop for long enough to get an interview.
Yeah, she just messaged me suggesting that she'd seen some of the videos and suggested that they were entered into a Community Research New Zealand Award, which I'd never heard of. And so, she entered it for me, and I had to just share a few other things with it. And I didn't think anything else of it. And I was actually down in Pōneki for something else, for some mahi, and got an email. I was like, what's this? And I was like, oh, it's nice. Oh, that thing. I remember, yeah, oh, well, nice. An acknowledgement email for not getting anything. That's all good.
Yeah.
And I read it twice. I was like, oh, we've won an award.
You had to read it twice before you realised.
Just assumed. I never won anything. You just assume you haven't won anything.
Yeah.
And I was quite shocked because this thing's brand new. I mean, just made it up, this idea, and run with it. Not really known where it's going. Just had a strong gut instinct that I know from my experience this is a gap that needed filling. Mm. And when I say we, it's... The Lots of Little Fires is a project that's been enabled by the Waikato Wellbeing Project, who I contract to, and they give me money to go have an idea and make something happen. So I'm very grateful for that. And then an amazing guy called Murdoch Daly, who's got his own, it's called One Man Crew, who's a videographer, who's an incredible guy. He's so good at making beautiful video, but he's also got a real nice, spirit, wider.
Yeah,
he's got a beautiful way about him, and so for me, finding someone to do this project with who could capture the beauty of what people do in community that reflects how, you know, the beautiful human interactions that they do, how do we visually make it look as beautiful as what they do, you know? And I wanted someone really good, because often community, we just get you don't get any funding for doing your own storytelling videography, so you can't really show the epicness of what you do because there isn't a budget. You know, you get what you pay for. So often the videos are done in a white room and it's not very good. I'm like, no, if we're celebrating community, it needs to be celebrated in a beautiful way. So Murdoch has just gone above and beyond with that, and he's just created these beautiful videos that they're a tonga for the people whose story they're sharing. That's the real what it is. It's a gift. It starts with, what do you want to talk about? I don't state what they need to talk about at all.
Okay,
no,
right.
It's what story do you want to share? It's
because they know their story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's all about them, you know, and it's get out of the way, let people tell their own story, and
that's
it's
awesome.
A platform for that, yeah.
So this award was called the prestigious Billy Award, they call it, or Billy, the Billy Award. Yeah. And there's several, I'm looking at a photo, folks, of Joe and a few other people. So just tell us about what Billy means, and the title Billy Award, and who the other people are that were getting awards as well, because this is instructive.
Because growing up, Billy No Mates, Ben.
Or is that a phrase where you come from?
Billy No Mates.
It was Nigel No Mates over here.
Was it Nigel No Mates?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you got the No Mates Award. Brilliant.
But you've got six friends there, seven,
I made
I
six
think.
New friends, yeah. So what it is the Billy Award is the name given for strength-based research.
Yeah.
Which was a new award this year. So I was lucky, because if it wasn't brought out this year, I wouldn't have won anything.
Right.
But the Billy Award was, it was the mother of one of the guys who's been with Community Research New Zealand for 20 years, a guy called Garth Nolan Foreman. And he named it after his mum. He's leaving this year, so he wanted to leave a legacy award.
Right.
And his mum's, her real name wasn't Billy, but she was called Billy by everyone, apparently.
Yeah.
And she was this incredible woman in the community. They didn't have any money, had a big family, and she just gave and gave and gave. And he spoke about I was crying, because it was real powerful for me. I didn't expect any of this, do you know what I mean? And it's funny how your life journey takes a certain path. And he said she was someone that only ever saw the positive in people. And would tell them that all the time, you know, all the kids that were a nightmare or people that were struggling. When he said when he was young, he saw it and was quite cynical about it. I was like, I haven't realised, she's so nice. Rah, rah, rah. But then as he got older, he reflected and he was like, it was because she was like that, everyone else seemed to flourish around her.
Yeah.
Because she just looked for the good and then told them about that thing.
Yeah.
And therefore they act like that. Do you know what I mean? And it touched me, because that's when I was to think about it, you know, that's what for me and my family growing up, and the influential, my granddad and my dad and my mum, that's what they've been like. You know, that was always what was passed on to me. It's like, tell someone the good things about them and they'll feel good. And then, you know, it's always been like the obvious thing. And that's what the stories and lots of little fires as men are do that. Just keep telling the good about things and it might flip perspectives as well, which is...
Yeah, and you use that phrase, strength-based practice, because I interview Marie every couple of weeks and she's a counsellor and she's been counselling at the school, and sometimes I talk to her, how do you counsel young people? And she says it's a strength-based practice. Mm. You don't analyse the problem that they've been sent with by the teacher. You find out what they're good at.
Absolutely.
And build them up.
Yeah. And we're all like that. And it's one of those, what's good for young people, it's good for anyone. Like, we don't change that much at all. It's like, you know, put your hand up if you feel good when someone says, oh, I really appreciate you for doing this thing, or the way you say that was really cool. No one's ever felt bad from that. And you go away feeling better.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do it very much. And so the award was based on the way his mum was. And he said, if anyone does any research that's like that, I'd like to, you know, award. And I wasn't the only one. There was a joint award, because he said for that award there was heaps of entries. I don't know how many heaps is, but loads. And he narrowed it down to a shortlist of 25, apparently.
Oh, so...
It was a lot.
It was a lot, yeah.
So bless him. And,
if your shortlist is 25.
Yeah, and all the other researchers who won the awards, I think there's six other people, they were all PhD or, you know, academic research, who provided a 15-minute presentation of all their research findings. And I was like, oh, nah.
All their scientific data.
Yeah. You know, on the board. And I was like, oh, I haven't got anything. I'm just going to have to tell a story. So luckily I was at the end, so I could just wrap up what everyone said and said, you're all amazing. Thank you. Please like my page.
You're like the cheerleader as you come on at the end.
Totally, yeah.
So, yeah.
But yeah, so it's very beautiful, beautiful. And it was interesting because a few weeks before I'd been at this Philanthropy New Zealand thing and hearing what they think the funding world should look more like. And the big thing for them was changing the narrative and storytelling, positive storytelling for community groups, so that funders know who to fund, because they've got, you know, and that was the theme, one of the big themes. I was like, oh, cool, we're doing it. But one of the things I did say is most funders don't fund storytelling. So the community groups don't have the budget to tell the goods. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, oh, it feels good to be filling a space where there's a service that's needed, you know.
And there's been some results from this in terms of like people hearing these stories, haven't there? Because you were telling me quite a few days ago now, and I can't remember the details, but hopefully you do what that conversation was about.
Well, it's funny because like my background in like community work and all that stuff is an advocacy, basically. Is I know all these people, the people stories I'm talking about, they're all my friends.
Right.
I've asked people that I know who are friends through Mahi, but in my sort of work, you're not really colleagues, you're mates, because it's vocational. Do you know what I mean?
So you're just a shared mission.
You're on a shared mission, so you're actually friends rather than anything. So these are all, there's a lot of trust, and I feel very, very privileged and grateful people have let me do this, because they're telling me a lot of stuff, you know, and trusting me to shape a story that's reflective. And so there's a lot that goes into that, and I'm very, very grateful. What did you say again?
So people have watched the short films and connected?
Yeah, so, for example, the story about the teen parent unit, Hipuwai, at Fraser High School, with local... resident Jill Cotter, who she manages it now, and no, Lee used to manage it before, who's also from Whangaroa, so it was a real strong connection here. And that story, I knew about the girls there, the young ones had a real bad experience of transitional housing, what they were living in Hamilton, and it's awful, horrendous, and it shouldn't be. The next story I did was about a transitional housing place of friends of mine who do it really, really, really well. But I know that those two didn't know each other. So the two stories, I'm trying to theme some of them that link up. So I go, right, tell that story and tell this story. And then I bring them together. Well, I did. I introduced them and brought them together, and they met. And they'd met, both each other's story, and they're both like, you're amazing. Cool. And now I think, as far as I know at the minute, the two of them they've got Ministry of Housing and Urban Development, Kāinga Ora and Ministry of Social Development, they've got their asses in gear and found shared houses for the teen mums to move out of the transitional housing and to live together as a shared house to give them the freedom, the self-determination for them to live their own life with gardens. And hopefully they're going to be in before Christmas. And that's a byproduct of, is a byproduct of, you know, telling positive stories, sharing, connecting people. But the change makers, the people that actually make stuff happen, do you know what I mean? Them.
Yeah, and because they're so focused on what they're doing.
They're so focused.
They're not out there telling this story. It's just you've got to keep hold of the ball and not drop it.
Absolutely.
The whole time. And I saw the one about the Team Mums unit at yeah. Fraser, and yeah, that's a powerful, yeah. such a powerful thing.
Amazing.
Because people who have this experience and then kind of the message is that's it for your life.
Mm.
You know, you're a cast on the heap now, which is, we should never do that with anybody's mother.
No.
You know, should be the first rule, shouldn't it? But yeah, and so positive for them. There's that word again, uplifting.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been in there a few times, obviously, now, and I was meant to go in today. They've just done a beautiful project with, they've been writing songs and poems and stories about them with a group. But anyway, but they honestly, they are, all of them are my absolute heroes. I can't, whenever I think my life's difficult, it's like, good one, Joe. the strength and bravery they show every single day is incredible, absolutely incredible. And what they do is just beautiful.
So you've got, you just pointed one on the screen. Which one do you want to mention now?
Oh, I don't mind.
Because we've just, The Gift of Music, what's that one? Tapahapuoro.
That was with Jamie Ferguson from Catch a Fire, who together, okay. he met with a local businessman in Fairfield, and the businessman decided he wanted to find a way to give back to the community from what he benefited from. He reached out and found out who was already making the change, which is the 101 of how to help a community do something. Who's already doing it well, then just get behind them. Don't try to enforce something, you know.
Yeah.
Got behind. Jamie had set up a program at the Fairfield College for the kids that had struggling the most to be in there,
yeah,
and using all his skills and all his networks to do an amazing music program, and it's changing their lives. But the businessman leveraged off his friends and allies to get funding to revamp the area completely and to really push it.
Yeah,
and so the story they want to tell is the beauty of it, but they also want to advocate for more of this, because it can't be a nice thing that just happened and then it goes. It's what's bringing the kids back into school, and it's making them engage with the subjects. It's creating horizons of opportunity that didn't know exist. The networking them with cool people, these things can't be a nice project that was a nice thing. It's got to be forever. You can't stop these things. Do you know what I mean? And these videos can help justify if it's for funding or just allies, you know, in different parts of society that could go, we want to be a part of, we want to support you too. We just didn't know how to support. We didn't know who to support. Now we can identify some people, you know?
So just looking at the numbers here, looking at the stats, the 2020 sustainable housing video is the one that's taken off the most.
Mm.
And you never know. I know when people put things out there, they never know which one is going to be the one that takes off. Can you see any reason for that one?
No, not at all.
I mean, the housing crisis is just about everyone in New Zealand's aware we've got some kind of housing crisis, so maybe that helps. But what is that one about?
So 2020 Sustainable Housing, that's the name of a company. They're an amazing family run. The mum, Angie Simpson, her son, Moses Simpson, and one of the other brothers, the other sons, Jay Simpson. I didn't meet him. He's a property manager. Angie's from, so it's 20, I think it's 24 units in I'm just going to say it's in Hamilton. Don't want to say where. And just keep them safe.
Yeah.
And initially, it was this family weren't doing this project. They owned some flats as a family. Angie was running Whakaronga Mai, which is the youth voice advocacy organisation.
Yeah.
A whole background in youth justice, residence management, therapeutic, social. She's lifelong youth specialist. And her son Moses was working for the People's Project as a caseworker for homeless people. Come COVID, they realised that they couldn't actually get homeless people into their own, well, they thought they want to get rid of their students that were living in their flats and go, right, we actually want to find places for homeless people.
Mm.
Maybe we could revamp our place and put them in there, into these apartments. But all the bureaucracy meant that they couldn't even get people into their own place with the property manager that they had in because of the bureaucracy of property management. So, for example, if you haven't got a reference, you can't get a... If you haven't got access to internet, you can't do it. If you've got no...
So they employed a private property manager, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what they did is they got a property manager and worked with them and goes, well, hang on, who's made these rules up? So we can dictate exactly
Yeah, they're happens. Employing the property manager, so
we own the flat. So it's like they between them. I wonder if follow up video is to their backstory, because it's so powerful. Is that if people want to make a change and they've got access to facility like that, they absolutely can if they want to. Mm. It's a bottom line thing. It's not a judgment of anyone, but if you really care, you can do something. And it's not saying that anyone has to do it, but if it's in you, there's ways around doing it. So yeah, they created a system where they go, well, we can't even get the homeless people that I work with, that Moses was working with, I can't get them into our flats. This is nuts. Mm. So they changed it all, and they've done it. So what they have now is they've got loads of people who are either homeless or coming from young people who are coming from care, or streets, and they bring them in, and it's a fully therapeutic place. So when I say therapeutic, I mean the first thing they come in is like, right, what's your health look like? And a lot of the kids come in, they haven't seen a dentist in maybe forever. Mm-hmm. They haven't got their basic health needs. Mm. They haven't got any money. They've got criminal records, maybe. They've got, and then people say, why can't they get a house? Why can't you just get a rental and get a job? People miss this. There must be people
who don't rent are the ones saying, why don't you just go rent a house?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because, yeah.
And so what it is, it's to really explain a perspective that gets rid of those, doesn't challenge. It's not to challenge. It's to provide an alternative perspective to people that may just go, look, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, that sort of thing. Why can't everyone? And all I would ever say is, you're absolutely right. Everyone can work hard and get where they're going. It just depends where you're starting from. And if you started from, I mean, one of the kids in there, I think she was in 48 care homes. She's 22. She had a 24/7 tag onto curfew for something she did a while ago. She's been trying to get better, but the court cases are in Auckland. She lives in Hamlin. She could never afford to. She couldn't get to the court cases. Mm. So they just keep extending them because she couldn't get there. She couldn't get out of the cycle because the bureaucracy around her was so set up to fail her.
Yeah.
As soon as she got in there, they took her in. They went, right, we'll take you to all of your court cases. This is what, as landlords.
Yeah.
This is
a different kind of landlord.
Very much. This is what we're talking about. And they're there for a time. But they want to find that. You ask them, well, what's your dream? Some of them want to stay, but a lot of them go, oh, my dream is to find my own rental. So, right, so they're getting them, so they give them, you know, from being there, they get them all set up, they do ready to rent programs, they help them with their finances, they learn to budget, cook, clean, have inspections. But they're coming from a place often which is very traumatized. Mm. They say, could you sign this document? That's bringing a whole world of trauma. They've signed all sorts of things in their lives and it hasn't gone well, you know. And
yeah.
So they work with them. So these are professionals that have that experience as landlord tenants for transitional. So that's what transitional housing could be. And that was the connection we made with the teen mums.
Yeah.
So when they met, they were, you know, the teen mums often crying, going, we've never met. We didn't believe anyone like you existed. All we've experienced is some of the teen mums had no hot water for a month.
Yeah.
In a transitional housing, which is run by a social service, won't name who. It's criminal, and they had written complaints. Nah, we've written complaints about that,
yeah.
And nothing happened until Jill rang them and said. And then guess what? The water comes on.
It's a poor reflection on our society. But if you're a teenage mum, that's the lowest status you can have, and people will just often just ignore you. And single mums everywhere, not just teenage mums, but I've talked with single mums, and the rubbish they have to put up with is terrible. And it's, yeah, they need advocates and people. I mean, there are advocate groups for beneficiaries because sometimes it depends on who's in government, but just the attitude of staff at WINS can be really punitive. Mm-hmm. But if you've got an advocate with you, suddenly
they know that
the doors will open. Yeah.
And that's where I see the role of advocacy could be so small for anyone in the world. I mean, here I am, sound like I'm preaching, but I'm really not. It's just like, I guess it's the way you view the world. If you see, once you see stuff, you can't unsee it. That's the way I view it. That's hopefully these stories. Once you see it and hear it, you go, oh, now I can't unsee that. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking for anything. It's just going, just stand alongside people. That's it. Stand alongside. You know, if someone's making claims, like, you know, da-da-da-da, I'm like going, I don't believe in that. So you're free to think what you want, but that's not how I feel. You don't have to challenge them. Yeah. Just make it known where you stand. Because for the minorities, you know, people have suffer neglect or abuse, whatever. It's a lonely, lonely, lonely place, you know. So, these stories are built from the feedback we get from them through Insta and Facebook and stuff and emails. Is that, especially the Team Mum one, we got so many beautiful Oh, I'll try and find one actually while you're talking, but I'll find something that got sent in which was really powerful.
Okay, I'll just remind people we're listening to Joe Wilson, or interviewing Joe Wilson here on The Morning Show, and if you want to look at what we're talking about, go to YouTube, go to Lots of Little Fires, and also subscribe. No one's subscribing because you're not asking them to, but people should subscribe because that'll just help push it out a little bit more as well. But there's been lots of views, especially on the sustainable housing one, but they've all got several thousand views. And the first one you did was Potama Rites of Passage, who we know locally, but then you've gone out around. Some of them were they over in Bay of Plenty, some of those?
Waitomo, Te Puna. Well, it's Waikato. So, I mean, the whole thing with anything done in Waikato, as you laugh, in social services, everything, Waikato means Hamilton.
Yeah.
So, because a lot of things are there, but going more, I'm trying to go as much out into the regions as I can to meet.
And a good story is a good story.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter where.
But yeah, this is some feedback. So from the Team Mum one, one of the many is like, Kilda, you guys came up on my TikTok feed, which we actually brought it off TikTok because there were some negative comments and we hadn't... anyway, I'll talk about that. I was intrigued and started looking at more and more of your guys' content. And I just want to say how safe, loved and cared for you made me feel by just watching your videos and content. As a young mother myself, I struggled with a lot during my pregnancy, and to this day I've beaten myself up mentally and given into the stereotype of babies having babies. Seeing so many people verbally and emotionally bash young mothers all over the internet has been something that has caused so much to me. Seeing the beautiful and safe space that has been created for our young mums at Hapuawai has brought me to utter tears. I wish I had something like that where I currently am, but would love to watch your environment grow. So beautiful. Thank you so much for making me feel all these beautiful emotions from only through a screen. So,
and did you pass that on to
Hipo? I passed it on to Jill, and share it all with... And the thing for me is, like, it's not just about... So the two things was to raise awareness for people that may not understand parts of things that are happening, but also to make people who are doing all this amazing stuff not feel on their own. And that's not just the people in the videos. It's there's a whole community of people out there go... If they can see it, they go, oh my God, someone else gets it and I don't feel as much on my own. And that thing, you know?
Yeah, because people do feel like they're on their own. You often hear that. So you got negative comments on TikTok, which I would
Well, we didn't use TikTok initially. We tried it. I didn't even know we'd put stuff on it. There's a bit of a disconnect now. Well, we're a work in progress, so we put it on, but we hadn't had any negative comments on any of the other platforms.
Yeah.
And so with TikTok, because it's a viral thing, we didn't know. Within an hour, it had 50,000 views. And because it's so fast, it's in that you can't keep up with the whole... So we just took it down because it's not a safe thing for... It's not safe for the people that are on there.
Oh, okay.
There's a duty of care.
I know you get negative comments. One of the things about the comments, because people are upvoting stuff, usually after a little while, the comments that all the ones that are at the top are all really good comments. And if this is a serious topic, so there'll be meaningful comments. But for other videos, often it's just people who make the best joke, and that gets upvoted to the top, or the wittiest comment, you know. So you might read comments... And you'll notice all the negative ones because you made it. You know, it's hard not to. I'm in that situation with this job, but most people probably won't see those.
And one of the things is we are doing stories of people that have had a lifelong of negative comments for a lot of things. Yeah. So there's a whole different duty of care for me in this.
Yeah, I get that, yeah.
And they've not asked to be celebrities, you know, so there's a whole different thing. So I'm very aware of protecting that. And, for example, we just filmed on Wednesday this week the Rainbow Hub, like, Waikato, so in Kirikiroa, and amazing people there. But there's been heaps of online hate towards the Rainbow community recently, especially with the political thing at the minute. And we don't want any comments because they've had to have so many sent off to police because people are being abused online, which is a crime when it's like that. It's too much, you know, because you do get positive comments, but it's not about that. I'm not the one who's felt all the negative ones.
No, you're asking them to become a martyr, really.
Absolutely,
And that's not your choice to make.
No, it's not mine at all.
Clearly, you know, yeah.
So, it's that dynamic about building an online following, people feeling they can go, thank you so much for being that person for me, because you want to express, you know, if you're like, oh, thank you so much for being that person for me, but if you can't make your comments, it's disabled, it's like, oh, I wish I could say something. You can, you just message. Do you know what I mean? So it's fine. So the comments, I don't think actually... It's a learning for me because I've never been interested in the social media world, really. You know, even though I've done music for myself, it's not something I've ever tried to enjoy to follow.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's so much safety around it. But
it's unfortunate because the comments is part of what the algorithm looks at to
to push it,
to see if it should push it. Mm. But safety first.
And again, I'm like, well, we can dictate the we can dictate the world. You know, we can invite people to this our platforms, and if they want to, they can, and if they can't, that's up to them. But you know, I think it's about keeping people safe most of all.
Yeah, yeah, because you've got, I mean, you've literally got vulnerable people that that are the topics there. Yeah. All right. Well, that's cool, Joe. That is. I really wanted to talk about this, and it's good to see that you were recognised with an award, thanks to Katie Lowe's knowing, putting two things together, knowing what you were doing and knowing that this award existed, and and nominating you for it. And and it's nice that something we talked about off the air is, because you had all those academics there and they had all their stats and things, but you're the one that's getting your stories out there, because it's about storytelling. And that's often what happens with academic stuff, is that the research can be really powerful but not necessarily known.
Yeah, that's huge. So, I know for me, like, I had my own journey, and I did a bit of studying, did my human rights, and I, while I was living in the car park as a homeless busker. But the funny thing was, I'd write this, I was like, who's going to read this? And I was like, I would never read this. I can't even read what I'm writing, because I'm writing words that you want to hear, but I still don't really half know what they mean. And
yeah, words that will get you the marks that you're seeking.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was always a thing for me. And yeah, so the other side of it is the music on it. I put the music on each one, so it's like trying to make it a little bit, you know, nice gentle guitar, and make it a beautiful thing. And and I guess that the editing of the story for me, it's like a song, you know, it's got a real journey to it, but there's always a positive resolve of hope. You know, I kind of write melancholic songs with some hope in it, I think, and I think that's what I try. It's, you know, it's melancholy because some of the subjects are, but it's always in a really hopeful, positive resolve. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
kind
of a call to action. So
yeah, yeah. So there's seven videos there at the moment. We've talked about a few of them, and the other one's going up
today.
So
I think in the next hour or two.
So it's
actually
not there. So we're not looking at it quite yet. But no, because the last one's from a month ago.
It's and this one's a really powerful one. It's a good friend of mine, Hickey West in Lahui Pukuka Huntley, and he's been working for a long time with the Rangatahi, who in alternative education there at Huntley College. And he does so much, man. He does so much. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy, and it's just celebrating him and what they're doing. So, yeah, it's one of my favourites.
Cool. All right. Well, we look forward to that one coming out later today. Thanks for coming in, Joe.